The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
the beast.
We're told in the book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan. Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
They're here.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
From the brand new and improved bunker, I am Derek Gilbert.
I am Sharon Gilbert, and welcome to our somewhat bigger bunker, because we are now in our bedroom, which seems appropriate. I mean,
TMI, TMI.
Sam says, just please get on with the stories. Don't talk about this. I've lost my bedroom too, he says.
Yes, yes. We've kind of reconfigured the bunker here just a little bit. So the audio is going to sound a little different because we're in a different room. I haven't really readjusted the levels yet since moving the electronics.
And you know how Derek is. If you know him very well, and if you've listened for a while, you know he loves to play with the electronics. So after we finish this show, he'll probably spend the next 2 hours redoing everything.
Yes.
But that's okay. Merry Christmas, honey.
Merry Christmas, sweetheart.
You know, and there are some people who say you shouldn't say Merry Christmas. But you know what? I believe that if you can find any time during the year that the door is open to talking about our Lord and Savior, Messiah, mm-hmm. Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, whatever you want to call him, he is the Son of God, and he did come here. He was born. If it was September, we don't know exactly.
Yeah, June, whenever.
He was indeed born. He came as a human being, God incarnate, God in flesh, Emmanuel, the King. And he lived a sinless life and then gave that life for you and me. However, he rose again on the third day, and he is coming back, folks.
Amen.
And it's not the baby in the manger that's coming back.
Yeah.
It is the Lion of Judah, the King of Kings. And you know what? He's not happy.
That's right. It's not the the squishy New Age Jesus who says, everything is good. I made you this way, so however you choose to behave is fine.
Exactly. So when we say Merry Christmas, we say it in the stores. We're always happy. If it opens a door to mm-hmm. someone saying, oh, I don't really believe in that, or whatever you want to say, if it opens the door to a conversation, then great.
Amen.
I'm all for it.
Amen. Well, today is December 21st of 2013, and of course, the real news in the headlines is being moved out of the way by all the flap over Phil Robertson of Duck Dynasty. We're not going to spend much time talking about it.
No, all I'm going to say is that he has every right to say whatever mm-hmm. he chooses to say.
Yep.
He has freedom of speech. And if someone doesn't agree with that, then that person has the right to say what he or she believes.
Right. And
but
you know,
he shouldn't be pilloried mm-hmm. because of it.
And there are some progressives who are honest enough to admit that, who are disturbed by what they see as Camille Paglia, who is a openly gay. She's a lesbian and has been since before, what do they call it, the Stonewall Rebellion or whatever that you know, thing was back in the day. Anyway, she's...
I'm too young for that. I don't know. I'm only 20 years
well,
old.
Well, back in the day.
Well, my nose is growing.
But she says that this is Stalinist and fascist, and she uses those words explicitly. She was interviewed by Laura Ingraham on the Laura Ingraham talk show. Laura Ingraham is a conservative, in air quotes, talk show host. And Camille Paglia, writes on culture and society, but she is honest enough to admit, call a spade a spade. That's frankly what's happening from the progressive side is, you're free to say whatever you like as long as we agree with you. So anyway, moving
along.
Crazy.
Okay. Yes. Moving. There are other things taking place. And you remember the summer when that general was fired?
Yeah.
One of many. Yes, indeed. And I think there have been some more military leaders since who've been fired.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's coming out that he had misbehaved in Russia.
Really?
Yeah, I know. Crickets.
He misbehaved. What did he do in Russia?
I don't know.
From Russia with love?
Yeah, something like that.
In Russia with love? I don't know.
And I just thought that was the funniest thing because it came out early on. Let me see. Finding the story here. The Air Force general who was fired from command of U.S. land-based nuclear missile forces had engaged in quote-unquote inappropriate behavior while on official business in Russia last summer. Imagine that he was involved in heavy drinking, rudeness to his hosts, and associating with quote-unquote suspect women. This is what the White House, this is what the Pentagon has issued months later as the official reason why he was dismissed. And I'm sorry, but this is probably typical behavior for most American envoys who are abroad.
When General Petraeus was dismissed, relieved of duty because of the inappropriate relationship he had with a woman, not his wife, it was a surprise to many because this is the kind of thing that many men at that level are guilty of, and it's only used when necessary to get somebody out of the way who has somehow transgressed in some other area. When I was in college, I took a course called the American Presidency, and it was a very eye-opening course. Robert Seibert was the professor at Knox College who taught it, and he said something that was kind of a forehead slap moment, even at my adult 18-year-old brain, that because no normal person would subject his or her family to the media scrutiny, and this was back in the mid-80s before the internet, no normal person would subject his or her family to the media scrutiny required to run for political office at a high level. It is then logically, we then can logically conclude that only insane people are elected to the presidency of the United States. And like, yeah, that's right. Cause you know, I think I'm a decent guy, but there are a lot of things that I would prefer the world not know about my background, things that I wish I hadn't done. Nobody can withstand that type of scrutiny, or nobody would want their family members to have to undergo that kind of scrutiny unless you are so mentally or psychologically imbalanced that you don't care that having that position is more important. He also pointed out that men in particular who run for political office at that level tend to have an overabundance of testosterone and thus are likely to engage in behavior that would, you know, get them disqualified for office if it were made public.
Here's the thing, though. At one time, that would have been considered immoral behavior.
Yeah.
Anymore, there are some who would claim, well, he's just genetically, you know, programmed that way. He can't help that. He has an oversex drive because he has too much of this or that, and you can't blame him for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we call it sin, people.
Yeah, that's... you're just a hater. You're just a hater. Why are you hating on him?
You know what? I'm amazed that General Kerry was dismissed because of this.
Yeah, speaking of Russia, I just thought it was amusing that Vladimir Putin expressed admiration for Barack Obama for being able to get away with the kind of NSA spying that he's been criticized for here over the last year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah, the old, if only I
wish I could get away with that kind of, you know, getting a full endorsement from the former head of the KGB is not necessarily a good thing. Just saying.
It's been a crazy year. And you know, honestly, the Cold War is really getting colder and colder. And it had supposedly disappeared back in the age of Glasnost and
or at least thawed. So, yeah.
Gorbachev. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it never really thawed and it never really went away. And it's really cold now.
Yeah. You know, what's really interesting is the snub that President Obama directed at Vladimir Putin over the Sochi Olympics. Supposedly, the Russians have, banned homosexuality, which is not at all what's going on in Russia. When you actually pay attention to what the Russian law says, it just finds purveyors of what they consider homosexual propaganda directed at minors.
Mm-hmm.
And when you really read, when you read between the lines, and who, you know, who's the biggest purveyor of gay propaganda in the world, that would be, you know, Hollywood. So really, this amounts to a shakedown of Hollywood elites by the Russian government. So really, that's what it boils down to. But you just have to look at the way the Russians play hardball. Vladimir Putin and his government, when they want to make a point, they basically cut off your natural gas supplies. Okay, Ukraine, you want to join the EU? Okay.
Oh, well, no gas for you.
No gas for you. And when the United States wants to wants to make a point to Russia, we send him Brian Boitano. I'm gay. Oh, a male figure skater who's gay? What a shock. This is such a lightweight, just strictly political commentary right now. This is such a lightweight administration when it comes to its foreign policy. I just am amazed.
Well, let's go back to the original visit with the Queen of England.
Yes.
Not only did they touch her physically, which is totally out of bounds, but the present was an iPod with his favorite speeches on it.
Yeah, which of course were all his speeches.
Yes.
Yeah, this president is, and I'm sorry, it has nothing to do with his ethnicity, his background, or the fact that he's from Chicago.
Yeah.
Which, from where we live right now, actually, that would be a two strikes against him right there, the fact that he's from Chicago. Yeah. But anyway. But that everything is about him. Mm-hmm. When Nelson Mandela passed, the White House press office tweeted a picture of President Obama in the prison cell that Nelson Mandela had been in.
But he was also taking selfies at the ceremony.
And then at the ceremony, selfies with the Prime Minister of Denmark, who, by the way, is, you know, kind of a blonde hottie. Michelle did not look pleased.
No, she did not.
But a president of the United States taking a selfie.
Excuse me. You can get copies of those photos from any of the photographers.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'd be happy to sign it and hand it over to you.
Yeah. It's astonishing. Well, just some of the other lightweight things that we've done. I mean, we were astonished that he has made multiple trips to appear on programs like The Tonight Show, The View.
Mm-hmm.
Like, can you imagine Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Ronald Reagan, Teddy Roosevelt? Can you imagine George Washington appearing on the equivalent of The View back in the day?
No.
No. This president has no gravitas. So anyway, enough of the political stuff. But his narcissistic tendencies.
But know what? That seems to be the way society as a whole is going.
It's a reflection of our society.
Yes, it is. And his presidency is nothing more than that. I mean,
they are so tone deaf.
There are so many people out there that are self-absorbed.
Yeah.
And this notion of it's my right to do this, my right to do that. The meaning of the word that we pronounce Laodicea, which is, I think, Laodicea, Laodicea, forgive me, I'm probably totally mispronouncing that Greek word, but or maybe Turkish origins word, but it's the city of people's rights.
Yeah.
That's what that word means.
Yeah.
So we are living in a time of there are a few that truly practice Philadelphia, you know, brotherly love.
Mm-hmm.
But there are others who practice, I'm not loving you until you love me first. And by the way, if you don't love me first, then you're a hater.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and just one final comment on Phil Robertson. I thought the comments that he made about homosexuality, which, you know, I can understand why a homosexual person might be offended by that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you really read what he said, he actually is practicing, if he's being truthful, he is practicing true tolerance. He's saying, look, I believe this is a sin because the Bible says so. The Word of God tells me that this behavior is a sin, but it's not for me to judge. Our job is to love on them, tell them the gospel, preach the gospel, and then let God sort it out.
Mm-hmm.
That is tolerance. That is showing love to your neighbors. And yet that is somehow grounds for dismissal in the eyes of A&E.
Sorry, so, a fan. That's practicing what God gave us right after. Is that my computer?
I believe so.
Oh, poor little thing. It must be doing something in the background. Sorry. That's practicing what God gave us, you know, after Adam and Eve sinned.
Yeah.
We get free will.
Mm-hmm.
They got the free will to sin. They got the free will to continue in whatever sin they chose to do or to serve God. That's, we all get that. And yet, if we make mention of that, saying, I have the right to say this, if my opinion happens to differ with yours, you might say, well, you're a hater.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, let's see. Harold Camping has...
He passed away.
Yeah. So he now knows the answer to the questions that he got wrong back in 2011.
Yeah.
Harold Camping, of course, was famous for predicting that the world would come to an end in 2011. Didn't happen.
It ended for him.
And, you know, for all we know, he is at home with the Lord. I mean, if he believed that his salvation was through by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Then
exactly.
He,
yeah. And that's the wonderful thing. I mean, the gospel is actually a very simple message. There are lots of other things that we do once we become Christians, once we are part of the body of Christ. We may get a whole lot of things wrong and still, you know, be with Christ afterward.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the judgment seat of Christ is all about. We find out what we got wrong, most of it, and the few things we may have done right.
Yeah. So December 18th, 2013, Harold Camping, age 92. Now on to the next phase of his eternal life.
Well, I'm just going to really quickly tell you what I've got up on my screen. It's an interesting variety of stories that I'd like to get to at least one or two of them. Google is hoarding robots, and here's what they may be planning. That's one headline.
A Transformer-like takeover of the world.
The NeuroPace controlling epilepsy with a brain implant. A 3D printer for human embryonic stem cells. That's another story. Software scans your Facebook photos to work out if you're a hipster, a goth, or a surfer. Yep, they've got the software now to figure out a whole lot of things about you. It also has deep learning software, which is from the amazing guru of the artificial intelligence. And endowed by their creator, the future of constitutional law. Here's one. Would you wear a smart wig? Sony, I kid you not, has filed a patent for a bizarre hairpiece. Let's go to that one. That's a good one. It's truly hair-raising, the writer of this says. You gotta love it. A wig that can monitor your health, give you directions, and even change its shape. The bizarre patent for a wearable computing device comprising a wig that is adapted to cover at least a part of a person's head has been filed by electronics giant Sony. The U.S. patent describes a terrifying-sounding device called a smart wig.
Huh.
Not called iWig, though. Apple would have gone after him. Which is packed with sensors and special devices that vibrate on the user's head to give that user messages such as driving directions.
Okay.
Oh, gosh. Well, this reminds me. I have seen patents for devices that pair an ear device or even something like this with a tattoo on your skin that's made of graphene. And the tattoo has a radio receiver and a transceiver in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it will essentially scan things for you. You scan your purchase. And at the same time, you'll have everything, you know, might have your Google Glass on and your smart wig on. And here's the other thing about the smart wig.
S-M-R-T.
The other thing about the smart wig is you can have a really, you know, nerdy haircut 1 minute and then tell the smart wig, okay, change. And then suddenly you've got yourself a little, you know, a faux hawk. Or something. It changes conformation. The strands of
Medusa
hair
are like
actually,
snakes.
Well, that would be interesting too. But who knows what, you know, Sony's got to see some kind of a future in this. And who knows, these wigs may be worn by, you know, the robots. They don't have any hair.
Yeah. So Google is amassing an army of robots. They've got those big container, like floating container
Just purchased the company that makes those things. What is the name of that company? Boston Dynamics.
Boston Dynamics, right. Yep. Yes, that was part of the presentation I gave at Pikes Peak.
That's right. And they had created the
Atlas
robot series for DARPA.
That was part of the presentation, showing how Atlas could be used as a Well, as essentially, it looks like the early prototype of a Terminator.
Yeah, it does. They've also got the big dog and the wildcat. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, supposedly these will be used in the Amazon warehouses. I can't quite see why the wildcat would be in there, because that thing is supposed to be like a cheetah. It runs at 40, 50 miles an hour.
No, those things will be on the battlefield, basically hauling stuff for soldiers.
For Google?
Well, that's the thing. Now, add to this that one of Google's, young fellow's name. Let's see if I can figure out how to do this real quick on the new device. Josh Cohen, I believe, is his name with Google. He is, and here we get into the realm of the realm of speculation. He has a title with Google. Google's. What is his title here? But he came to Google, and he's got some title like, you know, director of, you know, visionary stuff.
Cool stuff.
Yeah. Was senior business product manager for Google News, I believe. Was connected to the State Department through Hillary Clinton. He was an advisor to Hillary Clinton and has been essentially conducting back channel foreign policy for Google and for the Department of State in places like Azerbaijan, which is strategically located between Georgia, Iran, Turkey, Iraq, Syria. You know, it's on that path, if you were to run a pipeline from the Caspian to Turkey and bypass Iran.
Okay, I know where you're talking about.
Yeah. So he is a guy whose title at Google may not accurately really represent what he does. I need to do a little more on this fella, and because I should be better prepared on this. But I've seen his name connected to some back channel stuff that Google has been getting involved with. And the point of the article that I read that included some references to him was that Google has, over the last 15 years, gone from nothing to essentially shaping reality for people who use the internet.
Yes.
Once it reached a certain point on the global stage, it ran into the big bad world. And so Google got big and bad.
Yeah.
This fella Cohen is part of that. Google is engaging in underground, backroom foreign policy.
Yeah. Lest you think that we are being really bizarre and just making stuff up. We're not. And, we might be bizarre. Sorry, I can't address that. But, Google and Amazon and Facebook and Twitter and all of these internet-based entities seem to be sort of struggling and fighting for the same bit of the pie. There is a belief, and if you've listened to our show for a while or read anything that we've written, you know we've talked about this. Tom Horn has been talking about it. It's the singularity. There are some people who believe that the singularity is a moment in time. Others believe it's a process. And those who believe it's a process think that we've already started. We're in the process of forming the singularity moment when computers become so intelligent, they essentially surpass us. They become sentient. Mm-hmm. And I honestly, with all my heart, believe that the internet it's on its way to becoming sentient. And I will tell you more about that. I'm writing about that in a book that's going to be coming out next year. I'll be presenting about that in March in Florida. I really think that we are headed in a very bad direction, and the Lord told us all about it long ago. If the enemy has his way, then this will happen, and Terminator is not nearly as bad as it's going to be.
Hmm. That's dark.
Well, it is dark, and Terminator simply dealt with what happens to the physical world. There's more to it. It has to do with the spiritual realm behind it all and what happens not just to your body, but to your soul. Mm-hmm. You know, the Lord told us, don't fear the person who can kill you. if you're the person who can kill your soul, take away your opportunity, your if you want to say right, to accept Christ, there will come a point in the future when it will no longer be possible to accept Christ as your Savior.
Right, right. Yeah, and I know that's been kind of a hot-button issue of late, too, with John MacArthur, who would, at one point in his career, answered a question in which he said that even after you take the mark during the that final period of the end times, the mark of the beast, that you would still be able to accept Jesus Christ.
I can't get that out of Scripture. You know, those who accept it, there's a warning, don't accept the mark. There's a warning saying if you accept the mark and worship the beast,
right.
The implication being there that accepting the mark has something to do with worshiping the beast.
Right.
I just find it hard to believe, first of all, that anybody who's a believer would be able to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
True believer, you just can't do it. Just
right.
Kill me now, you know.
Yeah. Don't and take the mark.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
But I just pray that we don't have to go through that. And I'm not talking about, you know, God, you know, send us the rapture now to get us out of there. No, it isn't that. It just, you know, I don't pray for persecution. I really don't.
No.
I would love to avoid any of that. But the world is getting very, very close to it in the West. However, in the rest of the world,
yeah,
they're going through it now.
Yeah. You know, they want to say, what, greater tribulation?
Yeah, yeah. What's worse than being crucified?
Mm-hmm.
There are people around the world right now losing their heads, losing their hands, being crucified. I mean, they are standing for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So just because we get told here in the West, you can't say that, mm-hmm. you hater. Well, the day's coming when it'll be more than words.
Yeah.
Well, on to another story.
Well, I just wanted to circle back for a quick second.
Back to the hoarding robots?
Yeah, the Google thing. Just to correct some misinformation, I said Josh Cohen. Actually, Jared Cohen was the name I wanted.
Oh, okay.
Jared Cohen, who is director of Google Ideas. This was information that was released by WikiLeaks that showed in some communications from the intelligence contractor Stratfor.
Right.
Yeah. They said that in 2011, Jared Cohen was running secret missions to the edge of Iran in Azerbaijan. And in these internal emails, the vice president of Stratfor, Stratfor's vice president for intelligence, Fred Burton, who was a former senior official at the State Department, said, quote, Google is getting White House and State Department support and air cover. In reality, they, Google, are doing things the CIA cannot do. Cohen is going to get himself kidnapped or killed. Might be the best thing to happen to expose Google's covert role in foaming uprisings, to be blunt. The U.S. government can then disavow knowledge and Google is left holding the bleep bag, end quote. Again, that was from Fred Burton, former senior State Department official, now vice president of intelligence for Stratfor, describing Google's director of ideas, Jared Cohen. Google is playing a dangerous game.
Yes, they are.
So anyway, and so that just adds context to the stories about them, you know, building these, you know, big container.
Well,
things
it isn't
that we don't
only
know
Google. I mean, Amazon is already, you know, deploying robots in their warehouses, but they have been talking about deploying large drones that have smaller drones within them. So imagine doorbell rings and I open it up and there's this little drone holding a little package, you know.
Just hope it's not a hunter seeker.
Well, exactly. Exactly. I mean, if you can use GPS systems to send essentially a who knows what kind of entity to your door and to deliver ostensibly a package, pizza man,
Landshark.
But anyway, the same thing could be done from a military standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of, or, you know, the package could contain all sorts of, well, a disease.
Yes.
It could contain anthrax.
Mm.
It could contain lots of things. Well, right now in Texas, if you've been paying attention and haven't been following the Duck Dynasty thing so much, H1N1 is now the virus that's been confirmed in the Houston deaths. It had early on been said that the people who are dying of organ failure, that they were not dying of any influenza at all. There's a quick test, a rapid test, that has been done typically in all hospitals across the United States that is a test for influenza. It's a really bad test. There are lots of false negatives. There were lots of false negatives in Houston. They were sure it was not influenza. It turns out to be not just influenza, but it's swine flu. It's H1N1 from the pandemic 09 strain. It's causing organ failure and about a 50% death rate.
Now, for context, bear in mind the Spanish flu of 1918 had about a 5% death rate.
Right.
So
this is very, very serious. If you want to follow it, you can always see what Henry Nyman has to say about it at recombinomics.com. Mm-hmm. That's recombinomics.com. Mm-hmm. He has this to say. He said that this indicates that there's an explosion of H1N1 pandemic 09 deaths in the Houston area because he thinks in the coming weeks that they will identify people who have already died that they didn't know had died from H1N1.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's disturbing.
Yeah. And he said the people who are dying of this are in the same age range and health issues that the people who died in 09 had. So we're seeing it come back, which is actually what happened with Spanish flu. It had its origin about 3 years before it actually hit full force. This is kind of what happens. Flu circulates for a while, gets really, really bad, and then suddenly it pops up and we take notice.
Mm-hmm.
It's very possible that H1N1 has just sort of been percolating very low, and especially if the rapid test has been giving false negatives,
mm-hmm.
saying, no flu here.
Wonder why
that person died. Huh? Mm-hmm. Well, next. Yeah, this could be really bad. So we'll see. Keep an eye on that story for sure.
Speaking of mysterious deaths, have you heard of Loretta Fuddy?
No.
F as in Frank, U-D-D-Y. 65 years old. She was a passenger on board a Cessna air flight in Hawaii with 8 other people. The other 8 survived. She alone could not be rescued. Coincidentally, or not, she just happens to be the health department official for the state of Hawaii who released the notorious fake copy of President Obama's birth certificate.
Yes, actually, I had heard. I'd forgotten the name, but yes, I'd seen that story.
Yeah. NBC reported that the flight was due to travel from Molokai to Oahu. The pilot was among the survivors. The rest of the passengers were treated for non-life-threatening injuries, and crash was not fatal. The other 8 passengers really didn't sustain injuries that were even worth hospitalization, and yet somehow she was killed.
That's really interesting. Mm-hmm. Reminds me of Ron Brown?
Yep.
Of course, everyone on that died, but there is a story that he was killed before it crashed.
Yeah. So Loretta Fuddy is perhaps a candidate for unluckiest person of 2013.
Well,
yeah. The government. Oh, no. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to go to a story that has been a meme, actually, that's been floating around that we're living in was sort of a matrix.
Mm, hologram.
Yeah. That everything
universe,
that we perceive is a hologram. And
That's Sam's comment on the.
I don't know if you can hear it or not, but he's down there snorting.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at the.
It definitely hit.
The little graphic of the audio. Yeah, it's in there.
Oh, dear. But I've seen more and more stories. In fact, while you talk about that for a second, I'm going to do a quick search and see how many stories are popping up today on the universe being a hologram.
Well, this is something that Chuck Missler has addressed, and he's caught a lot of flack for. He's been accused of propagating new age ideas by talking about this. And from the presentation that I've heard from the episodes of his 6640 podcast that I've listened to, from the interviews that I've conducted with Chuck at the last couple of conferences, what he's doing is trying to offer a biblical explanation for what New Age physics claims is a holographic universe.
Mm-hmm.
Chuck is saying, I suppose if you want to say, okay, the table, the desk that we're working on right now, to our fingertips, it feels solid. But when you analyze what comprises the material that makes up this particle board veneer-covered desk, it's actually atoms. And there is space between the nuclei and the electrons and protons and so forth. It's not solid matter. It just feels solid to us. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean we're, you know, are we really just perceiving something that isn't really real? Yeah, possibly. I suppose you could look at it that way. But people tend to, you know, hear Chuck's ideas and think, oh, well, you know, he's just totally off the deep end and he's saying that God is in everything. That's panentheism. That's not what he's saying.
No, not at all.
But it is certainly an idea that's gaining traction among New Agers who are trying to use modern physics to purvey their ideas, to spread their ideas. And Chuck is offering a biblical explanation. God created it this way. We may perceive what, you know, we may be operating inside what you'd call a matrix, but it's not that we're, you know, like going to find the Neo who can somehow rewrite it and defeat Agent Smith by, you know, because his will is more powerful. I mean, that's the whole purpose of the whole premise of The Secret, that you can literally exercise your mind over matter by thinking about something and really, really wishing really hard.
Well,
for
a lot of Eastern mysticism is based on that.
Yes, exactly. And that's not what Chuck is saying.
No, not at all.
Not at all what he's saying. It's, you know, he's saying, look, that there is what may perceive to be, we when we interact with the supernatural realm, or rather when the supernatural realm interacts with our realm,
right,
we may see what he calls the denizens of the multiverse or whatever, you know, angels, you know, appearing and disappearing and appearing to violate the rules of the laws of physics. But because, you know, we're limited in what we can perceive, how much of what's around us we can actually perceive.
Exactly. We're trying to be, you cannot be an external observer within your own world.
Yeah.
You cannot. Therefore, you can't really get a good scientific seat, so to speak.
No, you can't be the cat and Schrodinger.
I don't know. Sam says, first of all, the cat is dead to start with. Because
even if you open the box and the cat is alive, it won't be.
Exactly. He said that's exactly how. No, but seriously, back to this. If you just go to Google owns everything. If you go to google.com and you do a search for hologram universe, you'll find, I'm looking under the news category. It's not entirely crazy to think the universe could exist in a hologram. Slate magazine. Our universe is a hologram and we're floating inside of it. That's Extreme Tech. Guardian Express. Compelling evidence now says our universe is a hologram. Huffington Post. Is the universe a hologram? Physicists say it's possible. Story after story after story, many of them tech or science, oriented websites that are talking about how we may not be living in the world we think we are.
Yeah.
If they can convince us we are living inside of a hologram, two questions. One, who's projecting it?
Yeah.
And two, where does this put Christianity and all religions?
Right.
It's the kind of thing that if you are not firmly grounded in Scripture and if you don't believe in a God who is so immense, so bigger than anything else, that anything is possible.
Mm-hmm.
All things are possible with God. We are told that. And yet we want to limit him and say, no, you can be God within my area of understanding. And if I don't understand it, then it can't be anything else.
Exactly. Then it must be bad and la, 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 la,
la. Exactly. That's why we say over and over again, all things can be understood through Scripture. Mm-hmm. All things.
Yep.
Many Christians, or people who call themselves Christians, if it were proven and revealed, and I'm putting that in air quotes, that the universe is nothing more than a projection being projected by extraterrestrials, let's say, I think many people in the world would just go crazy. Right now, I've been rewatching, Miracle Day, which is a Torchwood series that was on Starz a few years ago. And it's mentioned because suddenly no one dies, that Christians just assume that everything that they believed was a lie. So suicides are rampant. And of course, you can't die. So, you know, you commit suicide and yet you're still alive.
Right. Yep.
And there are lots of people walking around who say that their souls have now been stolen.
Hmm. Yeah.
And they're this cult of the soulless, and they all have this mask that they wear, has a, you know, a frown and a single tear coming out of one eye. There's a lot of really profound writing in this show. There's a lot of really disgusting stuff in it.
Yeah.
In that show too. So it's not anything that I would recommend for young viewers.
Right.
I would not recommend it for anybody who's not accustomed to watching things that are high propaganda, mm-hmm. you know, from the left.
Yeah.
A lot of scenes that are really not only bloody, but very disgusting. But if you can get past that and see what it is that we're trying, that we're being told to believe. In fact, this is the first place that I ever really heard mainstream media discuss morphic resonance.
On Torchwood.
Sheldrake's story, theory about the idea that, Sheldrake said, Rupert Sheldrake believes that if Sam T. Doxson mm-hmm. learns to do something here, that Doxson's on the other side of the world will suddenly know how to do it too, and that's a morphic field.
Hmm.
He believes that you and I, that all species can share information through an unseen mesh of some kind.
The Akashic field?
Well, yeah, sort of.
I'm mixing.
I think you're mixing, okay, but it's sort of like that. But it's an actual, you know, electric field that, for whatever reason, sort of like entangled pairs. Hmm. But think of it through learning. So, someone learning over here, automatically this person over here who didn't experience the same event suddenly knows how to do it. Well, the morphic field that's involved in Miracle Day is that there is an alien entity that has caused the entire world to suddenly shift to nobody dies.
Yeah.
Everybody's quote-unquote immortal, but they're still aging.
Yeah.
They're still hurting.
Right.
If they are injured and they quote-unquote are supposed to have died.
Dorian Gray's worst nightmare.
Oh,
yeah, you're in a massive car accident, you've been horribly mangled, and yet you're still alive.
I won't reveal the story behind it, you know, the who's really doing this and who benefits. That's what you have to ask yourself on this story. But it's an interesting one, and my poor computer must be downloading something in the background.
You know, it's interesting that Morphic Fields is just doing a quick search here and following up your the topic.
Yeah, I've talked about it in my presentations before.
The Institute of Noetic Sciences is doing research into this.
That was group, I know.
Made famous by Dan Brown in mm-hmm. The Lost Symbol.
Yeah.
Co-founded Dr. Edgar Mitchell, the astronaut, along with Paul Temple,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
major
mm-hmm,
financier of mm-hmm, the Brotherhood, the mm-hmm. group that sponsors the president's prayer breakfast
every
year.
The Brotherhood, an organization that I think Hillary Clinton actually... she stayed at that house too. At their, mm-hmm. What's the address in Washington?
I've forgotten the name of the. Is it C Street?
Yes,
it's on C Street.
Yeah, the C Street house.
Yeah, yeah, interesting stuff. And did the interview with the gentleman who wrote the book about the family.
Oh, that's right.
So
we should link to that in the show notes.
Make a note now.
Make note.
Yeah, the family was an interesting group. By the way, quick Doctor Who reference. 50 years ago today, the Daleks made their first appearance on television.
They did?
Yeah, just thought I'd throw that in there.
Speaking of robotics.
Yeah. but this, the whole morphic field idea, the whole idea of the secret, the idea that we live inside of a universe that we can somehow shape with our minds.
Mm-hmm.
Has made real inroads into American Christianity, evangelical Christianity, because that is the basis of the whole word faith movement.
Yeah.
I mean, we can call it New Age, but we need to look inward and say, you know, there are wolves inside the fold who are teaching the flock
right.
that if they What did I see?
If you say the right words, use the right incantation.
Exactly. It's basically trying to teach
white magic.
That's exactly what it is. Somebody in the PID Radio Cafe at Facebook made the comment once, and forgive me for not remembering who it was, but made the observation that occultists, ceremonial magicians, spelled with a K, per Aleister Crowley, tend to view Christians as really weak magicians, that we're trying to practice magic, but we don't know how to do it or don't want to do it, or we're approaching it with, you know, our eyes closed or whatever, that we're not doing it right. And in fact, Peter Lavenda, who I just interviewed for View from the Bunker, writes in his book, The Dark Lord, which is about the links between Crowley and H.P. Lovecraft, says that religion is the refuge of failed magicians.
That's an interesting line, and it's not true. He doesn't quite get it. Let's just put it that way.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's because through his research, he views the magician as one who's trying to harness these primal forces, the elementals or whatever you want to call them, what we would call angels and demons, angels and fallen angels, perhaps, trying to harness those forces in order to accomplish what the magician wants to accomplish. Whereas Christians and Jews, for that matter, are basically said, you know, don't mess with it. You know, this is what God told Moses to pass on to the Hebrews. Don't engage in necromancy. Don't engage in witchcraft. Don't try to manipulate the supernatural realm. John put it another way, you know, test all the spirits because not all are from God. And sadly, there are those who call themselves Christians who are trying to manipulate the supernatural realm. You know, approach the gates of God, the courts of God with praise and thanksgiving. And when you feel the presence of the supernatural, then hold up your seed and speak words of power over it and words of multiplication, and suddenly you'll be rich and, you know, whatever. That is trying to do that. That's trying to take the secret and put a Christian veneer on it.
Yeah.
And sadly, you know, and we saw this, Natalina from Extraordinary Intelligence made the comment that she wrote about this phenomenon and got a really, the law of attraction was what I'm trying to think of. She wrote about the law of attraction and got a very sharply worded email from someone in response who claimed to be a Christian and said, no, you're turning people away from what God wants us to have. I mean, there are certain laws of the spiritual laws that God must follow. And if we do these things, then God must bless us. Like, what? What kind of a God is that? He's not a genie in a bottle. You don't rub the lamp the right way and get three wishes. That's not how he operates.
Now, you can pray and ask for things.
Absolutely.
And that he wants us to do that.
Absolutely.
But he doesn't expect us to go through some sort of ritual.
And he is not obligated to answer prayers the way we want them answered,
exactly,
which is the whole point of the law of attraction.
Exactly.
And the secret.
Exactly. We don't control God.
Exactly. Yes.
No. You know, sadly, the whole idea of white magic being the Christian side of of the coin is the main storyline in, Ichabod, Sleepy Hollow.
Sleepy Hollow, yeah.
Yeah, which goes back to Washington and Revolutionary War being part of the Freemason fight against, you know, evil in the world and white magic witches versus dark magic, black magic magicians, and and trying to keep the apocalypse at bay.
Yeah.
Because the headless horseman is the rider Death. And there are three other riders that want to ride. It's just the strangest twisting of scripture and input of Gnostic ideas and just claptrap that makes no sense. But it's typical of what Hollywood is churning out because there is a thirst for it.
Right, right.
There is a, you know, people have itching ears and they are, you know, heaping unto themselves teachers that will scratch that itch.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's someone in the pulpit, they don't care. as long as the itch gets scratched.
Yep.
If it's someone outside from, you know, a graphic novel or a video game or Hollywood, they don't care. As long as they're told, you're right and you're special.
Mm-hmm.
And here's how you get even more special.
Yeah. Yeah. Same as it ever was.
This is the same lie that we were told, that Adam and Eve were told back in the garden. Mm-hmm. You shall be as gods.
Mm-hmm. We probably got to touch on this story just because of the prophetic implications. Story being reported by Aaron Klein of WorldNet Daily that Secretary of State Kerry has presented a United States plan for East Jerusalem that calls for international administrative mandate headed up by the Vatican.
Yeah, I've seen that story sort of building over the last week or two.
Yeah.
That Kerry was essentially handing Jerusalem over to the Vatican.
That's one spin on it.
There are some who say the Vatican has owned it all, you know, for at least a century.
Mm. Yeah, according to sources cited by Klein, Kerry's plan recommended a coalition including the Vatican together with a group of Muslim countries such as Turkey and Saudi Arabia. This is being proposed as a temporary solution for about 2 to 3 years while security arrangements in Jerusalem between Israelis and Palestinians are finalized. I don't know where this goes. This may just be another, you know, dead end. Americans trying to posture and see if we can broker a peace over there. And I don't know if things will ever take place. There was a Tom Clancy novel I read a while back that this might have been the last one I read because when I was reading, it was like, okay, well, this is totally implausible. Most of Clancy's stuff were close enough to reality that they were really compelling. In fact, that one where he described the detonation of a nuke at the Super Bowl was close enough to real that he
Black
had to.
Sunday?
Yeah, that he had to. Or either that or the Summer of All Fears, one or the other. That might not have been a Super Bowl nuke. But anyway, there was one of his novels where Clancy actually had to write a postscript in which he made it clear that he had changed the instructions for how to build a nuke so that you couldn't actually build a nuke by reading his novel. But he went into great depth. Wasn't really necessary for the plot. But anyway, one of his novels was premised on an international coalition basically controlling Jerusalem, and there having been peace for a number of years before it was broken by some radical group. And I just don't see the factions over there being peaceful long enough for anything like that to happen. But anyway.
No, I was wrong. Yeah. Thomas Harris wrote Black Sunday.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. It was Harris. Yeah.
Yeah.
Clancy is Sum of All Fears. I'm pretty sure that was the one. But anyway.
How close are we to?
Within about 5 minutes.
Because if we go longer than that, we've officially gone over into the "you're really boring people now" zone.
Yeah.
Oh,
we don't
sorry.
Want to do that.
Too late.
Ha ha. Let's see. Anything else? Nothing that's really compelling.
This may be our last show this year. I don't know if we're going to get another one done because we've got family coming out. We've got family staying with us now, and more coming out next week, and we've got obligations that, you know, for singing a cantata again. Mm-hmm. We already sang it once. We're going to sing it again.
Yeah. Encore.
We're sorry. We didn't. We just got to sing it again.
Yeah.
No, actually, it's a good cantata. I mm-hmm. enjoyed it. And we really have had a great time being part of a congregation here in town. Yes, it honestly, it takes some of the energy that I would probably put into other things. But both Derek and I have made a decision that over the next year, we're going to scale back on many of the things that we have been doing and try to concentrate more on this program and on our writing. And we just feel that that's where the Lord is leading us and has been leading us for years. Mm-hmm. We've been at this for 9 years. Our ninth anniversary for PID Radio
is coming
up in March of next year. So almost 9 years. Be heading into our 10th year.
An interesting journey in 2014 should be very interesting. I had at least a couple of conferences and perhaps traveled some places we've never been before.
Yeah, well, that would be wonderful. We've been invited to speak over in the UK. We may have to drum up some donations to get that done because expensive tickets.
Yeah. And we'll see if they try to ban us like they did Michael Savage.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You can't
you
get
haters.
It.
You can't get.
No. Oh, yeah. Well, we'll go to Wales.
That's right.
Fix you. And in the background, I don't know if you can hear it. But I can hear it bleeding through every once in a while. There are movies playing in the next room.
Yeah.
Derek's mom is watching. We've been watching White Christmas, and then we watched Holiday Inn, and I'm not sure what's up next, but it's been Christmas movie day mm-hmm. for us, and it's great nostalgia for me. I think his mom is going through the same thing. Do you watch those movies when you were growing up?
You know, if we did, I was probably not really paying attention.
You were over in the corner with your little microphone.
Reading a science fiction novel. That's where I was when I was growing up. I was following the Gospel of Roddenberry when I was a kid.
Well, and that's why you and I can really relate to young kids today. And that's, I think, one of the reasons that I have such a heart for speaking to what kids are doing, trying to teach parents to pay attention because, I mean, I was lured into many of those things. I was lured into the occult when I was in my teens and got out of it. Praise God. He walked through it with me, kept me safe. But I loved reading science fiction, still do. Love writing science fiction. Not as good at it as many of the great writers. But, you know, there's an attraction there to be more than we are. We want to be more than just humdrum human.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a purpose for living? You know, answer the big questions. Where did we come from? Why are we here? And where are we going?
Yeah.
Christianity answers all those.
Exactly.
Christ answers all of those.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's so sad, going back to Adam and Eve one more time, they had everything to start with that they thought they wanted to gain.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the enemy telling them that they were missing out on something.
Right.
That's what Hollywood, that's what, you know, literature, that's what graphic novels, that's what video games, all of these things are trying to tell our young kids today. You can be more. There's more out there. You're not being told everything. Your parents are lying to you.
Yeah.
They're holding out, you know, especially the church. They're really holding out on you because you can be so much more. You can be as God's.
Yeah. Yep. And on that note, we will conclude. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a very happy 2014. And until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear, a better day is